Right now, we're joined by Tom Jensen of Public Policy Polling. PublicPolicyPolling.com is their website. Get more information on the latest national numbers, including some numbers on some very hot button issues that are making their way in Washington, D.C. right now, including health care, with another round of negotiations among Republicans on possibly repealing and replacing the Affordable Care Act, Obamacare. The numbers on that available at Public Policy Polling.com as well. Tom, thanks for joining us today.
Hey, Aaron, good to be with you.
So let's start by talking about health care. I know there's another round of negotiations, possible bill coming to repeal and replace Obamacare. But we talked about this last time when Congress was considering a bill that not only was the bill itself extremely unpopular, but the idea of repealing Obamacare, even before you talk about what will come to replace it, just the idea of repealing Obamacare in the first place was increasingly unpopular as well. Is that still the case?
Yeah, we've been doing some polls for clients over the last week in sort of swing congressional districts, the kinds of places that Democrats are going to have to win next year in order to get control of the House, and the kinds of places where they do have a chance of winning, places where the presidential election was competitive or where Democrats have held the seat at some point in the last decade, that kind of thing. And what we're finding that's really interesting, and these are all in Republican-held competitive districts, is, first of all, we're finding strong support for the Affordable Care Act across the board in these places. Voters support it by 10 or 15 points. And we continue to find that voters are just totally opposed to the Republican proposal, the American Health Care Act. We find in these districts voters opposed by 20 or 25 points. And another thing that's sort of interesting, a big piece of when Republicans got control of the House in 2010 was that voters really didn't like Nancy Pelosi as the Democratic leader in the House. What we're finding in these districts is that Paul Ryan tends to have a minus 30, minus 40 sort of net approval rating in these swing districts. And I think he'd be unpopular anyway, but certainly the backlash against the health care bill is a big part of what's made Ryan become so much more unpopular both nationally and in these key districts over the last 2 months. So bringing health care back to the table is really playing with fire for Republicans. And one thing that's interesting that happened in 2010 was that even the Democrats who voted against Obamacare still got punished for it at the polls. They were punished for the unpopular actions of their party, regardless of how they voted personally. So even if all these sort of moderate Republicans end up voting against whatever health care bill gets brought to the floor, if something gets passed that voters don't like, they're probably not going to get let off the hook, regardless of how they personally vote. So all this bringing health care back is just not very good politics for Republicans looking towards next fall.
How salient of an issue is this? I know it's going to be very difficult for Republicans to get anything passed in Congress, even though they control both houses, just because it's going to be that difficult to forge an agreement between people on the far right and the more moderate Republicans. That's what we saw already. If they're not able to reach an agreement and nothing gets passed, is there a chance that Republicans could still take a hit in the 2018 elections just for bringing the issue up in the first place? Or would that kind of require them to actually get something through Congress at all?
I think they would come out ahead politically if they just didn't do anything at all. I think that every extra minute they spend talking about health care is beneficial to Democrats, because it just sort of makes voters think, like, what are you doing, pushing forward a bill that, you know, most famously in Quinnipiac had 17 or 18% support in a national poll. And what's really interesting about health care and sort of the overall issue salience is when we ask people now what's the most important issue, we're used to the economy and jobs being at the top of the list. We're used to maybe national security sometimes being at the top of the list. We are, to a much greater extent than in the past, starting to find health care at the top of the list that voters are the most concerned about. And I think one reason that this issue is becoming so problematic for Republicans is it's just something that Democrats are so much more unified about than Republicans are in these polls that we've been doing in some of these swing congressional districts. When you look at how Clinton voters feel about the Affordable Care Act, there's more than 90% support. At this point, there's almost nobody who voted for Hillary Clinton last fall who doesn't want to keep the Affordable Care Act. Then when we ask Trump voters what they think about the American Health Care Act, you only see like 60% support for it. And a lot of the time you see 20 or 25% of Trump voters say keep the Affordable Care Act. So it's definitely a situation where this is sort of causing division within the Republican ranks, while Democrats are considerably more on the same page about what the best path forward is.
Speaking with Tom Jensen of Public Policy Polling again, get more info online, including the latest national numbers at publicpolicypolling.com. Tom, we're going to take a quick break. When we come back, we're going to shift gears and talk about Tar Heel baseball, which is unrelated to PPP, but I know at the top of your mind as well with the Clemson series coming up. So hang on for just a minute, and we'll be back with more of Tom Jensen on Aaron in the Afternoon. That's coming up next. It's 4:40 here at WCHL. Aaron Keck with you this afternoon. We got Tom Jensen on the line. He is, of course, the director of Public Policy Polling. PublicPolicyPolling.com is the website if you want to find out more on that. Tom is also a Tar Heel baseball super fan, and I want to turn to that topic now because not only are the Heels on a roll, they beat Elon and Campbell by big numbers already this week, but we got a big series coming up at Bosch Emmer Stadium this weekend. Number 3 Clemson coming to town. Tar Heels are number 4 in the nation, or number 3, depending on which poll you look at. So talk about the Tar Heel baseball team this year. They're doing really, really well.
Yeah, it's just been a remarkable start to be 16-5 in conference play after 7 series, and to have won all 7 series in conference play is really a pretty unusual accomplishment. The regular season in college baseball, in my mind, is all about one thing. There's one thing you can accomplish during the regular season in college baseball, and that's to end up being one of the top 8 teams in the country. Because if you're one of the top 8 teams in the country, you play at home all the way to Omaha. You get to host the regional weekend in the field of 64, and then when it's down to 16, you get to play the best 2 or 3 series against somebody in your own stadium. And almost every single time that the Tar Heels have been a national seed, they've been a national seed 6 times. They've made it to Omaha 5 of those 6 times. So what the Heels have done is put themselves in great position to be one of those top 8 teams. And I really think that if UNC can take 2 out of 3 against Clemson at home this weekend, that will just about lock up a national seed, because the last 2 ACC series are against Virginia Tech and Duke, who you never want to take anything for granted, but those are teams that are not going to be in the NCAA tournament. They're sort of weaker teams. So if UNC can take 2 or 3 from Clemson this weekend, it really sets up UNC very well to end up winning all 10 of their ACC series, which is pretty much unheard of. And if they do that, they'll almost definitely be playing at home all the way until the College World Series.
How does Carolina match up against Clemson?
Well, two very closely evenly matched teams, 2 teams that I think both have really sort of exceeded expectations. Neither of these were a team that you necessarily expected to be in the top 10. It's interesting. It's the first time Clemson's been to UNC in 4 years. Certainly used to be big college baseball rivals, but now with the ACC so big, we often don't play each other that much. This will be the first time for UNC playing against Clemson's new coach, Monty Lee, who took over last year and has really sort of revitalized the program. So that'll be a little bit of a different experience than the Tar Heels have had in the past. Clemson has arguably the best hitter in the country, Seth Beer. He's a left-handed hitter, and that is one thing that's sort of interesting to think about this weekend, is if the Tar Heels have a little bit of a flaw, it's that they don't really have much in the way of left-handed pitching. They only have one left-handed pitcher who's appeared this season, and he doesn't get a ton of use. So it's definitely a situation where late in the game you wish you had one of those strong left-handed relievers like the Tar Heels had on some of their past powerhouse teams, of Brian Moran and R.C. Orland, to come in and take care of the other team's top lefty. But I think that will be the most interesting thing to see this weekend, is how Seth Beer does against the Tar Heels, because he's certainly a transcendent talent, could be a top 5 pick in the draft next year. He's a sophomore right now, and it'll be interesting to see how the Tar Heel pitchers handle him.
Speaking with Tom Jensen again, UNC baseball hosting Clemson this weekend. It's going to be a big series between two top five teams. Tom, we've talked before about just the excitement that built around Tar Heel baseball a few years ago. There was that season in 2013 when the Heels did so well, and a couple of years in there when there was just so much excitement and just such camaraderie around the team and the fans and everyone in Chapel Hill really getting into the Diamond Heels in those years. The last couple of years, I haven't really seen as much excitement and not as much success, obviously, either. Heels missing the ACC tournament and the NCAA tournament last year. How does this season's team compare with that really great run a few years ago when we were just making it to the College World Series every single year?
Well, no team's going to be as good as that team. I mean, I just have to be very clear. Like, I feel like we're having an awesome season, and we are, but through 40 games, we were 31-9. Through 40 games, that 2013 team was 38-2. I really think the 2013 UNC baseball team was quite possibly the best team in college baseball in the last 20 years. The College World Series can end up being a bit of a crapshoot, and sometimes the best team doesn't always win, but nobody's that good. But the good news is that nobody else in the country is as good as that team was either. So it is starting to feel like 2013. And one particular thing that's sort of an intangible quality that this team has is they're not a perfect team by any means. We only have sort of two clearly defined weekend starters. We've had to try a lot of different things in the Sunday slot. There's only maybe one or two guys in the bullpen who, when they come in, you just 100% trust that they're going to get the job done. We have a lot of guys who have a lot of talent and get the job sometimes, but they don't get it done every time, that kind of thing. But even though it's not a perfect team, they just find ways to win. And that's what the 2013 team was like, was they liked each other. They played incredibly hard. They had that desire to win and win together and sort of look out for the team over the individual and that kind of thing. And a lot of those sorts of dynamics are in place this year in a way that, frankly, they weren't from 2014 to 2016. Coach Fox had a quote earlier this season that I thought was pretty telling, which was, we had some guys on the team last year who, when we got left out of the NCAA tournament, they weren't upset that we got left out of the NCAA tournament. And Coach Fox said, those guys aren't here anymore. And I think that sort of sums it up, as we had some players over the last 2 years who maybe were a little bit more me first, a little bit less committed to the team concept. And that kind of thing ends up wearing you down over the course of a season. Both in 2015 and 2016, the Heels, did pretty solid for the first half, first two thirds of the season, and then just really struggled down the stretch and weren't as strong. And this team seems to keep just getting stronger as we go along, and that's a completely different dynamic. And I think that's a product of having 35 guys who want to work together to win every week. They're not worried about where they're going to get drafted. They're not worried about playing time, that sort of thing. One thing that's been really neat, the midweek games this week against Campbell and Elon, is we used a bunch of relievers who haven't been used that much this year. You know, the kind of guys who maybe on past teams, people who weren't being used that much like they were would pout and, you know, cause team chemistry problems and that kind of thing. These guys have waited their turn, and we got, about 10 or 11 innings out of the bullpen, the two midweek games this week, where we only gave up one run, using a bunch of guys who haven't been out there very much this year, but they waited for their opportunity and they made the most of it when they got it. And to win in June, to win all those games in the regionals and the super regionals and the College World Series, you have to have some guys step up who maybe haven't been doing it all the way along all year. And I think Coach Fox is doing a good job of getting some of those guys an opportunity, and they're doing a good job of keeping a positive attitude and then making the most of the chances when they get them.
First pitch is Friday at 6:30. Tar Heels hosting Clemson in a three-game series Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. It's going to be a good weekend at Bosch Amher Stadium. Tom Jensen, thank you so much.
Thanks, Aaron. Take care.